This morning, if you would, being Christmas season, I want to look at a couple of spots that talks about Christmas. Isaiah chapter number 9, Matthew chapter number 1. You'll turn those places. My family on the Miller side, we had our Christmas get together yesterday, and someone was talking about something, and it's talking about something kind of irritating that they were going to have to deal with all year long. I said, that's the gift that keeps on giving all year long. And, have you ever given Christmas gifts and told your kids you've went out and you've got these gifts, and they open them and they play with them 5 minutes and they go over in the corner and you hardly ever see them play with them again much? Or you give them some clothes and come summertime and yard sale, here comes the clothes and still got the price tag on them. I wasn't referring to my son. but anyway, it's good to, it's good to be able to get together. I like Christmas time. Let me say this real quickly and I'll get on with my message. I like Christmas time. During this last administration we've had, they've done their best to get away from saying Merry Christmas, take Christmas away. Christmas it forces everybody this time of year. I don't believe that Jesus was born on December 25th, but it forces everybody to think about Christ. Somebody said, well, I don't want Christ. Well, you can always put Xmas if you want to and just mark him out. But it forces you to have to make a decision. It forces you have to think about what this season is really all about. And I know we get in the hustle and bustle and we get caught up in all these things and we don't take time. But you know, somewhere along the way, it does. But today I want to, the original Christmas night when Jesus was born, the angels appeared and began to speak to the shepherds. The shepherds then came and they saw Jesus. But the Bible says in the next day that the shepherds returned. And then the angels, of course, disappeared. Mary and Joseph then had the baby, Jesus. And it changed their life forever. I believe it changed the shepherds' life forever. I want to preach upon this thought. Does Christmas having and bearing upon the day after? Is it something that you just take and whatever you receive? Some people will come to Christmas service sometimes and that'll be the only service they attend all year long. What do you take away from Christmas? And so this morning I want to look at a couple places, if you would. Isaiah chapter number 9, begin reading with me there, if you would, in verse number 6. Very familiar. All these scriptures are going to be very familiar. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name. Now notice that word name is singular. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord host will perform it. Now turn back just a moment in Isaiah chapter number 7. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 1. And that's where we want to stay the rest of service at. If you would, Matthew chapter 1. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 18. Keep your Bibles open, if you would. In verse number 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us. Speak to us through thy word. Let us see a truth or two that would help us. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now look, if you would, again in Matthew chapter 1, and let me show you something real quickly before I get upon this name of Jesus and upon his name. Look, if you would, in chapter 1, we have the generation, verse number 1, the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now remember that the book of Matthew always wants to present Jesus in a Jewish fashion. In other words, you'll find more about the Jewish law in the book of Matthew than in the gospel. It presents Jesus as a king of the Jews. It also has a lot about the heritage of the Jews, the tradition of the Jews. And so therefore, the book of Matthew always delves in and makes sure that it explains Jesus in light of being a Jew. Now here, it shows that Jesus' lineage came from Abraham, down through David, all the way down to Mary and Joseph. And it shows how that he was a true Jew. Now, in the book of Luke, it deals with the humanity of Jesus. And therefore, when you look at the book of Luke, again, it goes into geology, and it covers some other things about the humanity of Jesus. Now, John, he presents Jesus in light of being the Son of God. He does not even cover the nativity scene. He does not even cover the birth of Jesus. He says in the beginning of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, he presents Jesus as the Son of God, the deity. He always was. He always will be. In other words, he came to the earth and was made flesh. But he was truly the Son of God. Now look, if you would, in chapter 1 of Matthew. And I want to point out five things before I show you something about the name. Something's very unusual in this genealogy of Jesus. It has five women mentioned. If you ever study the history of the Jews, they never put women in a genealogy. Always just men. But here, and you find that they were the seed of so-and-so, and seed of so-and-so, seed of so-and-so. But from the very beginning, when you go back when man sinned, the Bible said something one time that it never said throughout the rest of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it said that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. Everywhere else throughout the Bible, it's always seed of the man. In other words, the woman is impregnated by the seed of the man. But something unusual about Genesis, when it prophesied that Jesus would come sometime and conquer Satan, it said that he would come from a seed of a woman. The reason why is a natural man would have nothing to do. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. In other words, he had no natural seed of a man. Otherwise, he would carry on the sinful nature of man. So he had to have something unusual. It was something supernatural. Now notice here, real quickly if you would, and follow with me, five of the women that was named here in Matthew. And again, remember, this is dealing with the Jewish tradition. And the Jewish tradition wouldn't have a woman because it was always a man. Therefore, even the inheritance went to the sons. And the women and the daughters Of course, they would contract upon marriages and so forth with the daughters, because the sons carry the names. Now, look, if you would, doesn't make one any more important than the other one. I'm just talking about tradition. Look, if you would, in chapter 1, in verse number 3. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamma. Now, Thamma, if you go back, and you go back, I'm not going to do it today, in Genesis chapter 38, and you read the first 30 verses, she was involved in an incestuous daughter, or she was an incestuous daughter of Judah. In other words, he had her in a sinful way, out of marriage, out of wedlock, in an incestive way. And so here it mentions her in this genealogy of Jesus. And so it's kind of unusual. Now, if you look on down in verse number 5, the Bible says that Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. Now, you remember the story of Rahab over in the book of Joshua, chapter 2. She was a harlot. Now, she was a Gentile. So was Thamma a Gentile. And Rahab, you remember how Rahab, she was of a doomed city of Jericho. God was going to destroy the city. And yet she helped the spies and she hung out the scarlet cord, which was representative of Jesus, that scarlet blood. And so therefore she and her house was saved. The interesting thing about Rahab was this. If you go back and study the story of Rahab, the Bible says her house was upon the wall and was built upon the wall of Jericho. But the amazing thing is, when they marched around it 7 times, the walls came tumbling down, except for one little house. Her and her house were saved because she had the scarlet cord hanging out of the window. Now, if you notice here, but Rahab's mentioned. Now, Rahab, if you look in verse 5, and Rahab, Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Now, Ruth is another Gentile. She was a Moabite. The Jews had nothing to do with the Moabites. Now, Moab, the children of Moab, came from Lot. Remember when Lot, when God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and him and his two daughters was the only one saved out of the whole city? They went up in the mountain, and he had children with those two daughters of his. Lot had children with his own daughters. One was Moab, and the children of Moab. So now think about this. The Son of God, Jesus, and not only do they never mention a woman in the genealogy of Jew, but now they've got three Gentile women. All three of them comes from this area of sinful beginnings. Look on. And not only that, but if you look in verse 6, and the Bible says, and Jesse begat David, the king, and David begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Now there it's referring to Bathsheba. Now you know the story of David and Bathsheba. Remember? Remember how David went to Bathsheba and she was the wife of Uriah? They had a child and they put Uriah at the front of the battle and he was killed. Isn't it interesting that in the geology, here Bathsheba mentioned too? Now all these godly women, all the way down through the ages, and picture the four that's chosen so far. Now the last one is verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. So Mary was also mentioned in this. Now, let me say this real quickly without spending much time on it. Four out of the five are Gentiles. And the amazing thing, a Jew thought a Gentile was a dog. They thought they were not worthy. As a matter of fact, they were not even considered a stranger, or they were considered strangers, and therefore they were not even considered neighbors. Did you know in the Jewish custom, if a man killed a Gentile, he was not guilty of murder because they did not look upon a Gentile as being someone that was a neighbor. And so therefore he did not have to love a Gentile because he was not his neighbor as himself. But when you get reading in that, you understand. But what you see here is this. All five of these women, even though one of them was an Israelite, one of them seemed to be pure, religious, and so things. But when you look at all five of these women, they had two things in common. They were placed in the genealogy of Jesus, and all five of them were sinners that needed to be saved by the grace of God. Somebody said, well, Mary And by the way, there's a lot of people that tries to exalt Mary to deity. They tried to exalt her to the place where it was because of her perfections and her sinlessness that she was able to bear Jesus. That was not true. The fact is, Mary needed a Savior just like everybody else. And so here, the fact was that Jesus was given, and it goes through and says, this is a generation of Jesus. And it mentions these, and it just reminds us of the grace of God from the gift that come to Jesus. Imagine this. It reminds us that regardless of where we had been, we might have been conceived in incest, like Tamar. We might have been a harlot, like Rahab. We might have been like Ruth. Our family, our roots goes back to the mountains where we were conceived in incest. We might be that we might have been involved like Bathsheba. But it reminds us that this gift is full of grace. Regardless of where we came from, we can find forgiveness. And thank God that of all the women in the world that he could mention, notice who he mentioned. Now, somebody said, well, why was Mary if all the rest was bad? Because it reveals to us the plan of God, the prophetic plan, that God would prepare a place. And he did prepare a place. He prepared a pure place for his son to come into the world. How much purer could she be than a virgin? A woman that never knew another man. It was a prophetic place. It was one, like I said, from the beginning. He fulfilled what he said there in the Garden of Eden, that it would be the seed of a woman. And here, whenever the angel come to Joseph, says, don't fear, she's not been with a man. She has conceived of the Holy Ghost. And what he was saying is, she is fulfilling the prophecy that was given that he would come of the seed of a woman. And not only that, but she prepared a place. Now notice what Isaiah said, a child is born, representing the humanity that Jesus would be. But a son is given, representing the deity of the gift that would come. It would be the Son of God. Now, knows as well in Isaiah that the Bible said that his name. Did you ever notice this? You know all the names. If you ask me what my name is, my name is William Ray Miller. Now, it shocked Dad one time. Dad's name was Billy Ray Miller. And we were there, and one time Chris said something about naming my son, William, after me. William Kelly, and Dad spoke up and says, your name's not William, it's Billy. I said, well, on the birth certificate, it's William. He said, no, it's not. I said, uh-oh. I said, yeah, it is. He said, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. And so I had to get it. And so my name is William Ray Miller. But now notice all the names contributed to Jesus. But it never does say the names of Jesus. It said his name. His name is Wonderful. Wonderful means that he is supernatural. He is something that no one else is. No one else will be. He's wonderful. There's a TV show where these rich people, they put in money on investments. One guy calls himself Mr. Wonderful. Well, I've got news for him. There's only one wonderful, and that was Jesus. That was his name. He was supernatural. The Bible says counselor. The reason why is because his wisdom. Because the fact that he is one that supervises us in direction and tells us everything we need to know about ourselves. The best thing that you could ever do is figure out where you came from, why you're here, and where you're going. If you ever get those three questions and those three things figured out about yourself, you'll be in good shape. Nothing else takes as much presence when you figure that out. Because I tell you what, there's a lot of people. One time there was a rich man in the Bible in Luke chapter 12. He wanted to tear his old barns down, build new ones because he had so much stuff. And the Bible says, and God said, thou fool. You see, he never did figure out where he was going. He never did figure out why he was here. And he never did figure out where he came from. You need to figure those things out. Because I got news for you, whether we like to grasp this or not, we're all going to leave one of these days. You better be ready to go when the time goes. And the only reason you'll ever go, and the only reason you'll ever go to heaven is because you figured out what Christmas is all about. Christmas is a gift. Now look here. He's Almighty God. He's the Sovereign One. In other words, he's all-powerful. Does what he wants to do. Not only that, he's the Everlasting Father. He's the Sustaining One. He's the one that is a personal. Did you know the Jews called him Jehovah? We call him Father. And therefore, when you get saved, you can say, our Father which are in heaven. Because you have a relationship, a personal relationship, a sustaining relationship. Knows as well, Prince of Peace. In other words, he's satisfied. I've often said this. There's a lot of things down here in this earth I'm not satisfied with. And I found this out. In church, temperature-wise, you'll never make everybody satisfied. This morning, some of you are sitting here freezing with a blanket around you. Some of you are fanning with fans. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible says when we awaken his likeness, we shall be satisfied. But you know what? I'm really disappointed with this guy right here. I've even been disappointed in my children sometimes. I've been disappointed in my grandchildren sometimes. I've been disappointed in the church members as well as you've been disappointed in the pastor. But there's one person I've never been disappointed with. Jesus is a Prince of Peace. Amen. He satisfies me on every level that he is. I've never found anything wanting in him. Usually if there's a problem with the relationship and what I know about Jesus, the problem lies right here. Now look on, just a moment. The Bible says, as well, his name is not only Wonderful and Counselor and all these things, his name is also Emmanuel. Which being interpreted is what? God with us. In other words, he's going to be a supernatural baby. He's going to be God. But yet he's going to take a form of a baby, a human being. He's going to have a supernatural birth. He's going to come about in a supernatural way. He only has been a product of a virgin and the Holy Ghost. Then also, he was going to have to face a supernatural battle. He's going to have to conquer sin, death, and hell. Something nobody else could do. He came, and the whole reason he came born was to come, and he was going to grow up on this earth, and he took upon him a body like us, but there was one separation between us and him. He was without sin. He was tempted in every way as us. He knew what it meant to be hungry. He knew what it meant to be tired. He knew what it meant to be rejected. He knew what it meant to be persecuted. He knew all those things. He knew what pain felt like. He knew what sleeplessness felt like. He knew what all those things felt like. But yet he was without sin. But his hour of coming was for one purpose. To go to the cross of Calvary and die. So when we think of Emmanuel, we think of the supernatural battle. And we think of the name Jesus. And it tells us his desire. His name Jesus reveals to us that he came to save us. Somebody said, well, preacher, you know, I'm just as good as everybody in your church. I said, you're absolutely right. And there's none good, no, not one. I said, if we were good, Jesus wouldn't have to come. Reason why Jesus came, because we're all sinners. Everybody needs Jesus. There's none that doesn't need Jesus. And so what you need to understand when we talk about Jesus, the Bible, the name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. What it tells us is his desire was to come and save. You know the marvelous thing about Jesus is this. There's not a person ever born that Jesus didn't come to save. Somebody said, well, preacher, you just don't know what that person is. I do. That person's a sinner. And you know what? I know something else. That Jesus would save him if he would just come unto him, or she. In other words, what I know is this. There's not a person ever born that doesn't need saved. And there's not a person ever born that Jesus won't save. But you have to come unto him. Isn't it wonderful to know that through that name, and boy, we could list his name. His name's not just three names like mine. His name just keeps going on and on. But notice it's not plural. All those are his name. His name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so therefore, Jehovah is salvation. So it tells us the fact about his desire. But it also tells us about the fact that he came to deliver us out of the bondage of sin. We can't deliver ourselves, but he delivered us. That's why even the Old Testament saints, I'm going to get into this, and I won't close just a second, but the Old Testament saints, the Bible says, you go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 through 53, when Jesus went to the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, when he resurrected, the Bible says all of a sudden graves started bursting open. And all those that was captive, he led free and took up into heaven. That was called Abraham's bosom at that time. My point is, Jesus come to deliver us. Not only that, but his name also means death, because he come to die for sinners. Now listen to me very carefully. Whether we want to talk about his name being Jesus as Savior, whether we want to talk about his name as being Christ, which means he is the anointed high priest and he allows us access with God, whether we want to call him Lord. Several times in the Bible you'll find the New Testament saying this, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord means that he is the Almighty One. He is the Sovereign One. He's the one that's full of authority. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm going to close right here, but I want you to get this. You may have came here this morning, never been saved. I want you to know something about this time of Christmas. We celebrate this supernatural gift of God. He came for that purpose of saving your soul. This morning you could come, and you know Mary and Joseph, their life was never the same. Those shepherds at Christmas, I don't believe, was ever the same. And I believe whenever any of us ever meet that Jesus, born in Bethlehem's manger, I believe if we ever come face to face with him, and we ever receive him into our hearts, I don't believe we ever leave and we're ever the same since. He'll change your life forever. Would you come this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you need to be saved. The Bible says that God has given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. You've got to come to him. Would you come this morning? If he's bidding you to come, the Bible says no man can come unless the Spirit draw him. Maybe God is drawing your heart this morning. Step out and come and be saved. Would you come? Let's stand.